Welcome back, everybody. This is Dueling Tangent with Luke and Brian. I am very pleased to announce that we have a special guest in studio. It's Matt Rothschild. We're going to be talking about open records requests and just to catch everybody up before I let Mr. Rothschild loose here. Robin Voss has been held in contempt of court. The human personification of a cocktail weenie has decided, has been told he's got to release the emails that he's previously said, oh, they were deleted. I don't know how to get them. It turns out he can. And now he has sent 20,000 deleted emails as a result. And this has changed how people are requesting open records. And I know someone that does a lot of open records requesting, and that is Matthew Rothschild. So I'm going to let you take it from here. Tell us how this change has occurred and what glorious news this means.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Luke. Thanks for having me on again.
Glad for you to join us, Matt.
So first of all, why are these things deleted in the first place? Why are legislators allowed to delete their emails? Every other government official in Wisconsin, except a legislator, has to keep their public records and make them available to public records requests.
It's weird. I feel like we had a situation with emails back in 2016, but please go ahead forward.
So the reason is because the legislators themselves wrote the laws and didn't want them to have to obey the laws that everyone else has to obey here in Wisconsin.
So, yeah, there's an exemption, isn't there?
Yeah, they let themselves off the hook. They're the only people in Wisconsin who don't have to obey the open records laws. They can delete a record within 24 hours of getting it. So to your question,
it's insane.
It is insane. So we got to keep that insanity, front and center. But so for people who file open records requests, what people didn't know before this latest lawsuit against Robin Voss was that you can ask for in your open records requests, not only for all documents, but for all deleted documents. I mean, who in their right mind would have thought, let me ask for all deleted documents, too, because deleted documents you'd think aren't retrievable. But lo and behold, 20,000 deleted documents were coughed up by Robin Voss just the other day.
I was gonna say, wow. That's quite a few deleted emails, too. That's not just like a dozen here or a dozen there that got deleted. Almost 20,000 emails deleted that were previously deleted, now turned over in this probe, as Brian alluded to. The Speaker of the State Assembly here in Wisconsin found in contempt of court for delaying because, Matt, this has been a pretty long saga going on for Robin Voss protecting these records as well. A judge ruled back in November that Voss was to release these emails, and he said, well, they don't exist, back in November. And so now it's April, and we're hearing now that, oh, in fact, these deleted emails can be retrieved, and, oh, here you go, there's about 20,000 of them. Good luck finding what you're looking for. Because that's what it seems like to me, is Voss is doing this dump now of these documents and pretty much giving to the oversight group, American Oversight, the watchdog group that is suing to see these records, pretty much a needle in a haystack.
Yeah, I mean, one or two things is happening. First of all, Voss did just stiff-arm the judge and stiff-arm the plaintiffs in the suit for as long as possible until he was threatened with a $1,000 a day fine, which I suppose we'd have to pay as taxpayers.
Right.
But then he dumps these 20,000 emails. So one or two things is happening. Either he's got 20,000 relevant emails to the Gableman investigation, which I'd love to see all of, or he's got about maybe 1,000 emails related to Gableman and 19,000 that have nothing to do with it, and they're just trying to bury the 1,000 that are relevant. But I got news for Robin Voss. Those lawyers over at American Oversight, they're really good lawyers, and they're going to go through each one of these 20,000 emails, and they're going to find a lot of stuff that you wanted to bury.
Yeah, they have a lot of practice going through things like this. I mean, they had to go through the Foxconn contract in less than 24 hours. So, I mean, everyone who voted on it totally read it, right?
And they already came up with a nice little morsel. They came up with something from Voss's office saying they wanted to trim Gableman's salary from $11,000 down to $5,500 at the end of March. But that may not have happened because he got an extension on his contract. But
that might have played well. They could have actually like used that to, oh, we should have, but didn't. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
the guy's not doing anything.
Cut his salary in half.
Well, maybe they could explain or justify the $10,000 salary that was originally $10,000 that got bumped up to $11,000 that was supposed to end in December, but now we're in April and we're talking about extensions still. So you can't even justify the beginning of this entire charade, in my opinion. But yeah, it does seem very interesting that this instance now that we're seeing with Gableman and Voss and in the last week with this open records request in court. Matt, is this going to dramatically affect how open records are viewed now in the state of Wisconsin? Is this now a new tool that Robin Voss has essentially given individuals like yourself, good governance watchdogs in the state of Wisconsin, the ability to request open records for deleted emails that previously you might not have thought to ask for?
Yeah, it's a new tool for any reporter in the state or any good government group in the state that has been doing open records requests to the legislature and getting stiff-armed forever and a day. Now you can ask for deleted records, and they're going to have to cough them up. They just can't say, oh, we've got no records or we deleted the records, because you can find those deleted records, lo and behold.
Now, here's the thing that, like, this has also been commonplace, as far as I can tell, for at least the Walker administration. They would do everything, you know, handshake deals, you know, napkin deals, stuff that really isn't, you know, recorded or on paper or anything like that. He would prefer face-to-face meetings to anything written or anything traceable back to them. And you know, that in general, that's a bad governance type of thing. But let's say certain deals needed to happen and you needed to have maybe a, you know, back of the house conversation that you really don't want anyone to see just to get something through. That's the argument people are gonna say. You know, sometimes you need those backdoor deals to go and make sure that things actually work through, because you can't actually work that out in the public forum, right? You can't just say, hey, this for that, and then, hey, we're going to get
the water running. Our ideas are so,
you know,
bad that our brainstorming sessions, we don't want you to see those. That's what Brian's alluding to.
You're right. I mean, that was how the Walker administration operated. At least three former cabinet secretaries under the Walker administration said that they were under orders not to put anything in an email. Basically, it was, we're going to walk around the Capitol in trench coats and discuss what's going to happen like mobsters.
It's basically Donald Sutherland on a bench saying, look at the money, follow the money, follow the lead. And this is, it's not just the Walker administration. That's how Trump ran his campaigns as well. It's how he did a lot of things. It's how he does pretty much everything. I don't know if it's because he just hates paperwork, because a lot of folks like that really just, they look at paperwork and it's just, you know, someone trying to bog them down and, you know, stop progress. But really, it's just trying to make sure that governance is handled in a correct way and above board.
And also, Trump talks like a mobster too, according to folks close to him. I mean, he doesn't tell you directly, you know, go take this person out or that person out, or he just says, you know, wouldn't it be nice if this happened or that happened, and people can put two and two together.
Yeah, and even if you did have the conversation, you go, well, you know, you can't, and they misinterpreted, you know, they took it way too far. I don't understand why they thought I wanted to murder someone.
So, Matt, we found out about this story because a piece over at the Wisconsin Examiner written by Eric Gunn talking about this kind of new tool that the good governance and any Wisconsin citizen that would like to submit an open records request could do so to find out about how the government officials were conducting their business. And so outside of the kind of not knowingly giving us the tool now to know that you can request deleted emails, which, you know, like you said, Matt, you previously wouldn't think about asking about those because you'd think that the deleted emails couldn't be retrieved. Are there any other, what are your guesses to what we're going to find out in these 20,000 or so emails from Voss's office? Is there going to be a big bombshell? Is there going to be a smoking gun here for kind of the ham-handed way that the Gableman review was put together? Or what are you expecting American Oversight's going to find? Because it's going to take a little time to comb through as many emails as there are. But what are your thoughts about what we're going to find when they're all combed through?
You know, Luke, what I'm looking for is picking up on your comment about, you know, how the charade started. I want to see the emails about why he picked Gableman, who pressured him to pick Gableman. Did that come from the Trump folks themselves? I imagine it might have. That'll be an interesting piece of the story, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Because all of a sudden it was Robin Voss on an airplane with Donald Trump last summer. And then boom, with the state assembly was authorizing two-thirds of $1 million to say, go find the election improprieties that we think are out there, people keep telling us are out there, go find them. Even though we've had multiple audits, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, the conservative group here in Wisconsin, said that there was no widespread, there was no evidence of widespread voter fraud in the 2020 election. I keep wanting to say last year, but it's not last year's election anymore. It's 2 years ago's election, and we're only months out from the 2022 election now. But it really seems like, despite the fact that this was almost put to rest, it came out of seemingly an airplane ride with Trump. And
which, sir, you're not going to find any records on that one.
Right, I want to find out. How did he get on that plane?
Yeah.
Someone had to email him or call him at some point and just say, hey, I need you to be there.
Well, yeah.
And who made that work? And who in the Trump headquarters knows so much about Wisconsin that Trump is always, you know, calling people out by name here in Wisconsin? I want to find that out, too. I hope that's in the emails, too.
So are we guessing that Rance Priebus's name is going to be...
You can't spell pubic rinse without Rance Priebus. I just wanted to remind everybody.
It's very possible. I mean, he's been down in Mar-a-Lago lately, too, and so is Gableman. I mean, it's just a ridiculous pair to draw to, those two.
All right, Matt. So, okay, so how long ago did they put this email, you know, we can delete our emails because we're legislatures, but nobody else can thing? And in that time frame, let's say you're in that time frame and you could go pick one situation, like, whose emails do you want? Like, now that the box is open, we can ask for deleted emails. If you could get anybody's deleted emails or any situation's deleted emails from the time they decided to say we can do this till now, what do you want to know?
Well, you know, 2011 still very vivid in my mind, so I'd like to know Walker and his dropping the bomb on the Wisconsin public and who was behind that. I'd like to see those. In contemporary way, I want to see, you know, Janelle Brangen's emails. She heads up the Wisconsin Assembly Committee on Elections, and she's a total nutball. And I want to see, you know, who's she getting instructions from.
Who are the cyber ninjas, and what is their email, and do they have a header when they come in?
The Ninja Turtles, yes, those. Yeah. Those. Yeah, because, Brian, that begs an interesting question, because I think the fact that we now know that there are as many legislators that are deciding to retire or go seek greener pastures this year, I would love to see some of the communication, and maybe it's not necessarily all on the government emails, but it seems like to me that there's a lot of people leaving the state legislature after this cycle. And there's a lot of people retiring. And Matt, do you think that the way that Voss has been conducting, kind of the way that he's been overseeing the state assembly, and the way that Devin LeMahieu has been overseeing the state Senate, kind of having that iron grip and saying you got to rule in lockstep with us, do you think there's going to be emails that come out about stuff like that as well? Or are we not going to see those? Are those more on personal emails?
I think we're going to see more emails just threatening Robin Voss. Evidently, there was one that American Oversight already saw from a guy with a right-wing group called Honest Open Government Hot. And he warned Voss that Voss was ripe for a recall. And then this guy's brother gets hired by Gableman. I mean, it's just kind of crazy the pressure that Voss has been under from the far right. But if you're a legislator with a conscience, why would you want to be in there? Even if you're a decent Republican, you got to deal with the crazies on the right. If you're a decent Democrat and you're entrenched in the minority because of redistricting and gerrymandering, why would you want to be there? I mean, that's the real question for me.
And now they're proposing possibly, I mean, cutting. Kevin Nicholson wants to cut their salary, right? You just, you know, make it a part-time job. It already is, but, you know, let's really make it a part-time job. Screw the government. That's why I want to run the government.
Well,
right?
He can run because he's got all that money from Richard Eline in his pockets.
Yeah. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got our friend Matt Rothschild joining us in studio in the Solidarity Realty Studios. We got one more segment left in the day. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. But Matt, we got also kind of another dynamic of good governance that we want to dive into in this next segment as well. We got our friend Timothy Rantham, who's running for governor here in the state of Wisconsin, seems to be doing something that you wouldn't necessarily think would be done, but
it's got to be done over and over again. It happens all the time.
Got to get your per diem.
I would say I saw the hashtag grifters got a grift today, and it perfectly went with this story, but we're going to dive into it on the other side of this break. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You are listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison and the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha. One more segment left in the day. We're going to be right back.